I would appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord had blessed his word to our hearts. The Lord would be the one that speaks to us. Written on the board in the question, what is your why? Kind of a strange seeming question. The word why would be used as, well, I guess a noun. But it's one that I've seen and heard a number of times lately. Driving down the road just this week, and I saw on a billboard that very question. What is your why? And I'd like to consider that as we look into the Word of the Lord this morning. I want to tell you as we begin about a story that I remember hearing some time back. Looked it up to try to see if I had the details straight, and the story goes something like this. In 1666, rather, there was a great fire in London that destroyed and leveled almost the whole city. Very destructive, destroyed of one of the buildings that it destroyed. It was St. Paul's Cathedral. After the time that that was destroyed, the city decided to rebuild it. They commissioned a famous architect or builder, I guess it was Christopher Wren, commissioned him with the rebuilding of that cathedral. The story goes, as he was contracting that work and having it done, he would go and inspect the work on a regular basis. And one day, as he was there, he was observing some of the bricklayers that he had hired. And he saw three men working on the same wall of the building. And as he observed those three men, he noticed that each one of them was operating very differently. The first one that he came to, he saw was stooped down and moving slowly. Didn't seem like he was really putting his heart into the work. Maybe distracted. He asked the man, he said, "Well, what are you doing?" The man said something to the effect, as you might imagine, "Well, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm laying bricks. That's what I do. Trying to make a living." He went to the next man that was laying bricks, and this man was working a little faster, putting a little more attention to it, although not entirely what Christopher would like to have seen. He asked that man, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm building a wall." Came to a third man that was working, you might say, furiously. Had his heart in it. He was fully engaged in what he was doing, with great attention to detail and the quality of the work that he was putting out. And he asked the man the same question that he had asked the others. "What are you doing?" To which he replied, "I'm a mason. I'm a bricklayer. And I'm building a cathedral to be used to worship Almighty God." You see the difference between the three men? They were all doing the same thing. The same work. Laying bricks, mortar, one after another after another. You don't build a wall or build a cathedral, but what you build brick by brick. But there was a difference in these individuals' vision, what they were doing, why they were doing it. And it made a difference in the output and the quality of their work. Made a difference in their attitude. This question, what is your why, is usually asked in the world, as I've heard it, in the context of something usually difficult, maybe prolonged, maybe monotonous, requires sacrifice, And it is intended to remind people of their purpose, of why they're doing what they're doing. It may be as the occasion of someone who decides they're going to change their eating habits or a new exercise program or whatever it is. They may ask them this question: what is your why? Why is it that you're doing this? What is it that is your purpose that's driving you, that's inspiring you or motivating you? Because they know that many times it's easy, as the masses do in that example on January 1st, to line up at the gyms and the weight loss clinics and all of that, saying, sign me up. I'm ready. I'm all on fire to go do this. But they know that that often doesn't last very long. And you're going to need something whenever you just don't feel like going on. Whenever you just, you wonder, why am I doing this? I don't feel like doing it. I don't really want to do it anymore. That you have something that anchors you to say, no, I've got a goal in mind. I've got a reason that I'm doing it. Well, they like to try to connect people. Maybe it's reminding them, your grandchildren, remember your family. You're doing this for them, or you're doing this for this goal that you have in mind. There are people that have accomplished things physically far greater than I ever have or could imagine doing it. Triathlons, things like that. Running far greater distances than I've ever thought of running. And then riding bikes, their bike, and swimming, and things that are very grueling, demanding on their body, their stamina. And I've heard those that have done things like that talk about how they get through it. They have a goal in mind. And they remind themselves as they're going along why they're doing it. There are some people, one that I remember in particular, they were doing it for what they felt like was some cause. And I don't remember the cause, but it was to raise awareness or to raise money for some cure or some cause. And so they would remind themselves whenever they would get so exhausted and tired of those that they felt like they were going to be benefiting. And it would keep them going. Saints, we're going to need something that keeps us going. We're going to need something that is our why. I want us to think about this morning, why do we do the things that we do? You know, we need to have a reason. We need to have something that whenever the going gets tough, that I can look back to and remember, this is my purpose. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. Why are we here? Why are we doing the things that we do? You know, it's a question that many people ask. What's our purpose? Why are we here? And it's a, we'll say, a problem, a quandary that has, I believe, been made worse by the humanism that has continued to just pervade our society. People that are insistent on taking God out of the equation and saying that we are simply the result of natural forces over a period of time. We were just an inevitable outcome of these molecules and things that over time just worked together and produced us. There's no greater cause or purpose or reason for you being here than that. You're just an accident. You just happen to be. You know, that leaves people feeling empty. It leaves people feeling like, I'm nothing important, nothing special. What's my reason for living? What's my reason for doing what I'm doing? And people wrestle with that. Many have been the case, and I don't have statistics to cite. But those who have decided to just end their life, maybe it's just what I hear about more nowadays, but so many who get to a place that they just despair of living. They've lost their why. They haven't found their purpose. People endeavor to seek for that, to find that in different ways. Because there's a recognition of, there's a need. That I need to have some kind of purpose in life. I need to have some kind of reason, a sense of being needed in this world. So I've seen people that have not turned to the Lord, turning to many different things and sometimes unusual. There are people that'll take up a cause of one kind or another, and they'll make their cause their purpose in life. My purpose is to wake people up to the great danger that our climate is in. Our world is right on the brink of disaster. And that becomes the mantle that I take on. That becomes my rallying cry, my purpose. People who feel like cruelty to animals, and I'm not talking about cruelty in the treatment, but eating animals. How could you do that? And that becomes my moral high ground. If you understand what I'm saying, that becomes the thing that is my purpose, that gives me a sense of moral direction. And they can become so outraged at what they perceive as a violation of their moral sense. But it's so askewed. The purpose is so empty. Folks, there's a purpose for every one of us. We're not here by accident. We didn't come into this world just by happenstance and nobody noticed. I am so thankful to know a personal, loving God that has a purpose for me. And I may not always understand, I don't, what it all encompasses and what it is and the grand objectives of what the Lord's wanting me to do down the road, but I know one who's got me in His hand that has a purpose and a reason for me being. A reason for me being here today. The Lord's got a purpose for us. I'd like for us to turn now to the book of Psalms. We'll say probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Psalms, the 40th chapter. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You ever gotten stuck? I'm saying maybe you're driving. And you get stuck and it doesn't matter how much you push down on the gas. It's just, and the wheels just spin and you're not getting anywhere. You try to put it in reverse maybe and you don't get anywhere. Miry clay. Is that it's slippery. It holds people fast. They try to go or to get out and they just slip right back. Well, this is talking about somebody in a place like that. That there was a God that reached down to him and pulled him out of those slippery places and established his feet. He gave him purpose. He gave him a direction and pointed him in the direction that he was to go. He established my goings. I've got a reason. I've got a purpose. Folks, if we don't have a purpose or if we lose sight of what our purpose is, you know, we'll tend to be like a ship without a rudder, just blown wherever the winds blow us, shiftless and aimless, without purpose and direction. And so many people in our world today are like that. They long for a purpose and a meaning, and they try to find that in different ways in their life. But there's no substitute to connecting ourselves with our Creator and letting Him establish our goings. I'd like to look now at a familiar scripture in the book of Jeremiah. 29th chapter. The 11th verse. The Lord coming and giving to the people through the letter of Jeremiah hope. He had spoken to them that because of their disobedience, they would be taken into captivity. But he said, "Now, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Folks, the Lord doesn't just start us out without any direction or purpose or knowing what's next and just kind of see what happens. The Lord has a plan and a purpose for us. He has goings that He wants to establish for us. The Lord has a plan for us. And I've looked sometimes at people in the world that seem so far from God. And it seems like they're a hopeless case. You know, I've seen some of those hopeless cases be turned around by God. Really, every one of us were a hopeless case. But I've seen some of those that I would have looked at and thought, there's no way. You know, I'm so thankful the Lord doesn't just look at what is, but the Lord looks at what can be. And the Lord has an objective and a purpose. I enjoyed it one time. We went to a place that a potter was working and watched him measure out a portion of clay and put it on the wheel, got his hands wet, and he began working with that clay. What started out as a lump, he began to put pressure and squeeze it, and it started to grow up out of his hand, and he started shaping it and was watching with interest. What is it that he's making? I couldn't identify it or recognize it. I suppose if I had a wheel and some clay in front of me, I could make it change shapes. But I probably couldn't do much to make it usable. But this man, who is an expert at doing that, saw in that lump of clay the potential of what it could be. And he began working with that until he had it made into the image that he was looking for. Folks, the Lord has, call it a blueprint, an example. He has a plan for every one of our lives of what He wants us to be. The place that He wants us to fill. Our objective and our purpose in life. There's a song that says something about, "I was born to serve the Lord." You know, that's really what every one of our purpose and objective is. And until we fulfill that, we'll never be fulfilled. Until we connect the things that we're doing to that purpose, we'll always be struggling with a sense of restlessness, a sense of being out of place, of not fulfilling something inside of me. It's important for us to have a purpose. It's not just the saints that recognition or that concept is for. Think about in the business world. My company, a number of years ago, started an initiative where they said we want to create a purpose statement. And they spent a lot of time at trying to create a slogan for the company that embodies what we are, what we mean, why we're here, why we exist among all other companies. This is our purpose. And so they came up with it. Wouldn't maybe do any good to recite it. But it was a purpose that they wanted every individual in the company to be able to connect with. To be able to say, when I'm getting up in the morning, and there have been many studies of productivity and things like that that have shown employers that if you can help your employees to recognize there's a reason, they're making a difference. The work that they're doing is not in vain, but it's serving a greater objective, that they're more engaged in their work. They're more productive. And we see that in the illustration that we started with of the bricklayers. And so they want folks from the clerical workers all the way across the organization to be able to recognize, yes, I'm filing papers today, and it's a monotonous job, and I'm tired of it. I really don't feel like getting up and doing the same thing again today. Why? Why do it? I can go through the motions and just clock in. Have you ever known people that did that? They clock in and they're going to put the very least amount of effort into the day as they possibly can. And the minute that the clock says it's time to go home, they're waiting at the time clock to punch out and they're out of there. You know, the scriptures teach us something different. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord. Because you're not serving man. There's a greater purpose for the Christian. There's a greater reason in the things that we're doing. However monotonous or mundane or meaningless they might seem to be, it's important for us to realize there's a purpose in what I'm doing. Well, if it's important for employees to recognize their purpose, and it's important, suppose the building of, whether it's the construction industry or whatever, automotive or aviation industry, whatever work it is, it's important to somebody. You know, there's something so much more important, of such greater importance and significance in our lives. Where are we going? What trajectory am I setting myself on in my life? What is the purpose for the things that I'm doing? And I believe it's important for us to examine that. Why do I do the things I do? Is it because people expect it? Is it because that's what my parents did and so I'll just kind of go along with it? Is it because the ministers got together and decided this is what we're going to do as a body? Folks, there's a greater purpose than that. There's a greater why than that. Because if we are motivated by the fear of men, it's not going to keep us. It's not going to carry us far enough. There will be a time when man is not looking. And the scripture even talks about not doing service, eye service, as men pleasers. And it's talking about the servant and the master, and as applicable to the workplace and in so many aspects of our life. We can go through life going through the motions. Coming to church, I'm going through the motions. I'm dressing the way I'm supposed to dress. And I'm doing the things that I know I'm supposed to do. And that's important. But it's also important why we're doing what we're doing. Because if it's not connected back to that purpose of glorifying Almighty God, we'll fall short. There'll be a time when the boss isn't looking, and I start to slack. There'll be a time when the saints aren't around. And I don't have anything to hold me anymore. Folks, I've seen so many times of people who have been under the dominion of man in a spiritual sense. They've relied on man to tell them, here's what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Here's where you're going to live and where you're not going to live. Here's the colors that you're going to wear and the colors you're not going to wear. And prescribe every aspect of their lives to them, to the point that those who leave that are oftentimes, don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And so often I've seen it swing from one extreme to the other extreme, almost overnight, because there's nothing to hold me. There's nothing, there's not a greater purpose that connects me to what I'm doing and why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. It's called convictions. And our convictions need to be based on something that's greater than what mom and dad said. It's not to negate the value or importance, perhaps, of what they said and taught. But I need something for myself. I need a purpose for myself that whenever I face the headwinds and the troubles and the persecutions, I can look back to say, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Remember, we lived in Mississippi one time. If you haven't been there, it gets hot and muggy in Mississippi. We made some friends down there and met up one evening to go for a walk together. And I remember the woman looking at Katrina and saying, why do you wear a skirt all the time? Why do you dress the way that you're dressing? Does your church make you do that? And she was as serious as anything. And it seemed so strange to me. No, our church doesn't make us do this. That's a pretty empty reason. A pretty shallow why to motivate what I'm doing. Folks, we need something more than that. Every one of us need to be connected to what our purpose and our reason is and what the Lord's plan and His desires are for us. And whenever, folks, love is really the link to that. Whenever I love the Lord and I say, Lord, I want to please You. I want to glorify You. Whatsoever you eat or drink or do, do it unto the Lord. Do it to glorify the Lord. That's our purpose and that's our reason. The Apostle Paul faced all kinds of opposition. He said of his purpose. Well, let's look at it. A couple passages here. Acts, the 24th chapter. 24 and 16 of Acts, he says, and herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. That's why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. That's why I'm denying myself. That's why I'm sticking out and I'm willing to be different. Because I'm not here to get the accolades of men. I'm not here. Jesus said, ye are they which seek honor one from another, and not the honor that comes from God alone. That honor wasn't enough for the Pharisees. It wasn't enough to produce real righteousness in their lives. It left them in a place that it was just an outward form. They were just going through the motions, but they had lost the essence of what they were doing, the true meaning of what they were doing. Jesus spoke to them and said things like, you're straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. This thing ought you to have done and left the not to have left the other undone. There's things here that you've lost. You've lost the essence of it. And I pray the Lord will help us as the church of God in our time, that we not lose the essence of why we do what we do. It's not enough for us as parents to say to our children, you're just going to do this because. There's a time for that. You don't just negotiate with a one-year-old, two-year-old, three-year-old. There's a time that you say, these are the boundaries. These are the guidelines that you're going to operate inside of. But there comes a time that a child's got to be able to get a hold of something for themselves. And it's not going to be enough whenever I get out in the workplace or into high school or college and I'm really being tested. The things that I've held are really being contested. I may even have respect for my parents, but it's not going to be enough for me in that time. I've got to get a hold of something. And so it's important for us as ministers, as teachers, as parents, that we not just say, the saints don't do this. The saints do that. The saints dress this way. Folks, it's important for us to know the why. And I'm not just talking about an intellectual experience where I've got to reason everything out for myself. But we need to be connected to the Lord. There may be things that don't make sense to me, but I hear a still small voice saying, this is the way that I want you to walk. And I say, yes, Lord. And He has a way of showing me, establishing my goings. We need to be connected to Him and our purpose. Paul said in another place here in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter, 2 Corinthians 5 and 9, he said, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Oh, is there a greater purpose? Is there a greater why that we can have than to say, Lord, I want to be accepted of You. I want to hear You say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want Your blessing and Your favor upon my life. That changes the perspective from saying, what can I get by with? As the Pharisees did of so legalistically examining the law to look for every loophole they could find to the point that they missed the whole essence of it. I don't want to lose the why, the essence of what we do. Proverbs, the 29th chapter, the 18th verse says, where there is no vision, the people perish. It's so important for us to have vision. A vision of God's truth, a vision of the church, a vision of what His desire is for us and the way we live. It's important for us to have a vision of our purpose. A vision of why I do what I do. A vision of why I get up on Sunday morning and I go to service. A vision of why whenever people around me are telling crude jokes, why I don't engage in that. A reason why I don't conform to the world in appearance and mannerism and mindset and all of that. There's a reason. A why? Where there is no vision, folks, we'll be like that ship without a rudder, blown this way and that way, this direction and the other. The Lord's got a better way for us than that. He wants to establish our goings. Scriptures talk about He has called us with a holy calling. It talks about He has predestined, He has foreordained unto us according to His good pleasure. Folks, the Lord has a plan and a purpose for every soul that comes into this world, that they might be born again and have eternal life. The Lord sees the potential in every individual in this world. If they'll but turn to Him, what He can make of their lives and the good that they'll be able to do. Oh, it's good. I suppose to recycle where we can. Don't use excessive water. I remember as a child, not to try to get political, but I remember in some of the little newsletters they'd hand out when I was a child that would talk about when you're brushing your teeth, you shut off the water and all of this, you don't use any more water. Just let it be a trickle coming out of the faucet because we're trying to save the planet. And I remember, even as a young child, what? What does that have to do with me saving the planet. Cause I remember one time a case study that was presented to us about a little certain species of bug, a beetle, that lived in this one region, and they were making plans to construct a building of some sort. I don't remember what it was. And they were appealing unto even the children. This is so wrong. Because this is the beetle's house. This is where the beetle lives. Who are we to think that we should take over where he lives? Folks, you see how those things can become almost a god to us. Our cause and our purpose. There's a higher and a more noble calling for us as the children of God. There's a more noble purpose. Now think about where a little young man named David came along to his brothers and the warriors that were facing the Philistines, the hope of Israel. In a sense, they were the men of battle who were quivering in the bushes, hiding from a man named Goliath. You remember the question that David asked when he came up to his brothers, and they explained what was going on and why they were hiding. And you remember what he asked them? Is there not a cause? Have you lost your focus on the purpose? Have you lost your why? Why are you here? If you're not going to fight the enemy, what are you doing here? There's a purpose. There's a cause that's greater than you and me. A cause that must go on. There's a song I remember singing as a young person and hearing those before me. No ground. We've got a cause worth fighting for. Devil, we're not going to take no more. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what our purpose is, of what our cause is. There's a cause that's greater than us. And when people begin to lose their vision of what that cause and purpose is, they tend to begin to focus on themselves, and their purpose doesn't extend beyond that. There is, again, a cause and a purpose that goes beyond me. And a purpose that will go on whether I am in the place I'm supposed to be or not. It'll go on. But the Lord has a place for every one of us to fill. And any one of us that may not fill that place, the Bible talks about, Paul said, let not the member think because he's not the eye or not this member that he's of no value. Every one of us have a place to fill and a purpose that we serve, that we connect to. And it's not me serving my own interest as a member of the body and what I want to do, but we're all connected into the head. And as the church of God, our purpose connects back to our head, Jesus Christ. As people are struggling today to define their identity, to define what makes them different, to define what their purpose is or their slogan or their motto, folks, we have it. It's right here. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. He must have the preeminence in all that we do, believe, teach. Lord, help us to have a vision of that. Remember, as we think about our purpose, the place the Lord wants us to fill, the work will suffer. It'll go on. But there will be a place in the work of God that suffers if I'm not filling my place. Remember going to Hunting Island in South Carolina, the only lighthouse that I believe is open to the public. You can walk up 160 steps in this lighthouse, around and around and around and around. And depending on what kind of shape you're in, you may be kind of out of breath by the time you get about halfway up. And I remember seeing a sign on the wall as I got quite a ways up in the lighthouse. And it said, just remember, when this lighthouse was operational, these steps were followed by the keeper of the light carrying 5-gallon pails full of oil to keep the light burning. It wasn't built to be a tourist attraction. It was built to serve a purpose. Folks, we're not here for our looks. We're here for a purpose. Just as Jesus told about the fig tree, I believe it was. It wasn't bearing fruit. The master said, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's not here as an ornamental tree. There's a purpose that it has, as do each one of us. You think that job would get old? Thankless? We're talking about every day. I don't know how often they had to refill it, but they'd have to go down to the oil where they store the oil, separate building outside, fill up the 5-gallon pails. That's pretty heavy. It's 35, 40 pounds or so each bucket that they're carrying, and carrying it up each one of those steps all the way to the top to do something that they've done over and over and over again. And you know, that job is a job that you may never see the benefits or the effects of what you've done. How do you? How do you measure success as a lighthouse keeper? How do you quantify the lives that were potentially saved? How do you know the ships that out at night saw that light and recognized they needed to change course? Folks, we can lose our sense of purpose if we're not careful. And begin thinking, well, there's nothing really of value I can do. What difference can I make? Folks, you can make a lot of difference. When we consecrate and submit ourselves to God's purpose, the Lord can make a difference. Our little light that's shining out into the darkness, we may never know. So I want to encourage us, don't base your sense of purpose or accomplishment on what you see. Don't base it on the fruit or the results, because we'll become discouraged. We talked about discouragement last week, and this is one of the ways that the devil wants to try to get us discouraged, is to lose sight of our purpose, to lose sight of why I do, to lose sight of why I get up and I carry that pail of oil up again and again and again. And there may not be anybody that comes to me and says, thank you for doing that. It saved my life. But folks, that's not why we do what we do. We don't do it for the honor and praise of men. We do it because there's a higher purpose and calling. And who knows, but what my little light shining in the workplace can make a difference to somebody. My light shining in my community. A little word that I said, and sometimes it's not even things that are spoken, but it's people. Folks, people are watching us, whether we realize it or not. May not even realize the little things they take notice of. I've told the story before. I remember when I was there working in Mississippi. Remember, they had uniforms that they handed out to all the workforce. You're going to wear this. It was short sleeve uniform, and I had a conviction that said, I want, as an application of the standard of modesty that the Lord requires, I believe He'd be pleased with me to wear long sleeves as a standard is. And I remember going to the plant manager, who's now one of the general managers, vice presidents of the company, is saying, I'm not able to wear those, huh? And explaining something that seems so trivial. You know, you can begin to second guess, and oh, this is so my, you, why? What's the purpose? But I explained and said, you know, I've got a conviction, and it's a personal conviction that I hold and that I really need to be able to observe. She was very respectful and gracious and said, well, let me talk to the company and see if they can order you a long sleeve version of what everyone else is wearing. Well, she came back to me a little later and said, well, they can get it, but it's going to be a different color. Oh. So in come my uniforms, and everybody's wearing them their first day, and we want a group photo. You know, I felt it. Maybe I just wasn't strong enough, but I felt it. People looking at me, where'd you get that shirt? And I wore that every day. The time came when I left that location to move to Ohio. And there was a man that had never spoken to me about these kind of things before. But he came to me and pulled me aside and said, "Clint, I want you to know, you've made a difference for me." I said, "Huh?" "Clint, I've watched what you've done. I watched the stand that you took. And said, I may not understand exactly why you took it, but I took notice of that, and it's done something to me." Folks, that's not something special. That's called a saint of God. We are called to be different. Scripture says, I believe Peter said, we're called to be lights under this dark world, to shine forth blameless under this darkened world. There's a purpose in why we get up every day. The Lord's got an eternal purpose. Don't just look at it as seeing the temporal and the here and now. Lord, what do you have for me today? Brother Mike testified a bit to it this morning as he prayed, "Lord, what can I do for you today? What difference can I make for somebody today?" The Lord can help connect us to the purpose that He has for us. You pray for me. Lord, help us so we not lose sight of His purpose and why in our lives.